So, Simekuf Nun Hei, Sif Aleph, Din HaChokas Nizokim. So, Abayas Valiyah Shal Shnayim, Lo Yasa Balabayas Tana B'Seich Beisai, Elam Kein Yeshle Agab of Goyved Al Ramas. So, coming off of the various halachas and the nuances that we saw in Hilchas Shcheinim, how there's a responsibility to not be mazik, your neighbor, and to live in an appropriate amenshlecha fashion where you can coexist. So, the Mechaber Paskins regarding, based on the Gemara, that when you have if you live in a multi-family dwelling, then you have to be careful where you place your oven and how you position it so that it doesn't come to damaging your neighbor. So when you have one on top of the other, abayis v'aliyah shel shnayim, lo yasa balabayis tanur b'seich beisai, you cannot make a tanur inside your house. If, let's say, you're in the lower dwelling, you're on the first floor apartment, and you want to put an oven in, if you have a six-foot ceiling, you cannot place a tanur there, because it would be mazik, potentially be mazik, your neighbor on top. Elam kein yeshli agab of goyve dalaramas. You have to have above the top of the tanner airspace of dalaramas, which happens to be a lot. I mean, our ceilings are typically only 8 feet. I mean, here we're saying you have to have dalaramas, which is more or less 8 feet above your tanner in order to have this tanner inside your home. Dalaramas beinoy latikwas aliyah, between the top of the tanner and the roof, or the ceiling, I should say, on top of your dwelling, shlo yisrif ha'aliyah, so that it shouldn't cause a fire and burn the person on top of you. Mechein lo yamid bal aliyah, vice versa. There's also a restriction on the one who's on top, that he cannot place a tanner in his second story apartment. Mechein lo yamid bal aliyah tanner ad sheyiyeh tachtov mazeh v'shloish ha'tvachim, until he has underneath the oven mazeva a platform of plaster made out of 3 tefachim thick. Milvad sheheo gabov goyve dalaramas, besides for having to have on top of it dalaramas. Now, I believe that halach of having to have on top of him dalaramas is, even if there's no third floor on top of him per se, but simply you don't want the ceiling catching on fire, the roof, because then that would affect everybody else as well. Now, underneath him, he needs to have a base underneath this oven of 3 tefachim of plaster. So now, I don't know if mazeva is anything different than the actual material that they used for the floor itself. You know, it could be the whole floor was made out of that, the ceiling of the downstairs and the floor of the upstairs made out of mazeva, but you need, at the section where you're putting your oven, you need to be at least 3 tefachim thick, so that there shouldn't be a concern of the heat going through and melting or catching fire. Well, bikira tefach mazeva mitachteha, a kira, which is a different type of oven, which has less heat, over there, a tefach of plaster underneath would be enough. It wouldn't require 3 tefachim. Now, there's a different type of oven, which is taner shel nachtaimin, which is much hotter than a regular taner, a baker's oven, which, you know, I guess besides for just running constantly, but inherently it's operated at a higher temperature. So, vim taner shel nachtaimin utzar shei tacht of dalad tefachim, a taner of a nachtaim has to have underneath it 4 tefachim, as opposed to the 3 that you need for a regular tanner. Well, bekira shel nachtaimin, I'm going to assume that reads together. B'mtanner shel nachtaimin tzeh shei tacht of dal tefachim u'bekira shel nachtaimin. Unless that's a gimel, that's just misprinted. Oh, after the word nachtaimin, u'bekira shel nachtaimin, there's 2 gimels there. Right, one is presumably referring to the sma, and the other one may be referring to one of the other mefarshim here, maybe it's a square gimel. I'm not sure where that would be going. Maybe that's a typo? I don't want to make this up. Yeah, if that gimel is just a misprint, then it would make sense that we're saying a kira typically requires 1, but kira shal nachtaimin would require 3. 3 tefachim. Maybe that's how it's supposed to read. I guess we'll reference a newer print of a Shulchan Aruch to see. Al Kopanim, the Mechaber says different harchakas that are required for Tanner and Kirayim, and then for a Tanner of an Achtaim and a Kira of an Achtaim would have an increase here. But Al Kopanim, we're saying that if you want to build a house and put inside your house a washing machine or an oven that may catch fire, there's halachas of where you're allowed to position it and how you're allowed to position it. Right? You can't put it if you don't have a high ceiling, essentially. That's what comes out, right? I mean, we view it as a high ceiling today. Maybe for them it was more normal for the ceilings to be higher. And you have to build a base underneath it to protect it. Otherwise, you're not allowed to place it there. Now, what would you say happens if you followed these regulations? So you're not. You, this is the way you have to do it. You have to have Dalad Amas on top, Gimel Tvachim underneath. So now if you follow that protocol, and then subsequently a fire happens anyhow, would you be Chayev or Pater?
That's what we were asking. We were discussing that before.
What were the thoughts?
Yeah, but I could see a case where maybe you'd be Pater because you did everything you're supposed to.
Right. And what would be the Svar?
But then you're not a Pesheyev.
If you did what you're supposed to, you would be an Inus, I would think.
Right. Okay. No innovation. I could see you'd be fine.
Right? I mean, in Harchokas Nezakim, there's different dinim that the Gemara brings about a bar, Samach Lilona Shel Chaveira. You have to go a certain distance. And then if you do, are you Pater or Chayev? So the Mechaber is going to continue now and say, V'afal pi shehir kashir, even if you were Marchik the way you're supposed to, Yotze Eish V'Yizika, Mishalam Ash V'Yizika. Even if you are marking that which you're supposed to, says the Mechaber, you're going to be chayiv. V'chol adam v'beisay tzarech laharcha kishur malalu v'pnei ashkenim shema'akfim olof. And if you're zayis, that every individual in his household has to be marking this shir, if he's not marking v'pnei ashkenim shema'akfim olof, because the shkenim can ma'akiv. Meaning, obviously, if there's no neighbors and he wants to do something dangerous, they may burn down his own house, you know, at your own risk. But when you're coexisting with Shechinim, you're mechuyev to follow these shiurim, but even so, these shiurim are a harchaka, but not a harchaka that will pater you. So we want to avoid any mishap, but if something does happen, we can't say that you were cautionary enough that you're now considered a ninus. We're still going to be consider you a mazik to the point that we would be mechayev you.
Yeah, it brings to mind, you know, when we first moved into our first apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says they're commonly leak, and it's going to go down and go all the way down to the basement. And it's wondering here, so if you put in an aliyah, you put in a washer,
mm-hmm.
It leaks, so you did everything right, you connected everything properly. Everybody knows that they leak very well.
Mm-hmm.
So would you be chayav for
right.
Similar kind of situation?
And wouldn't you think that, I mean, over there I can hear that you would be chayav.
I can hear it, yeah.
Right.
I thought they would claim it was Opus Graco, but now that I'm a little older and wiser,
right. It happens in Israeli apartments all the time.
I mean, what? Leaking.
That stuff leaks down and soils the ceiling of below and below.
Uh-huh.
It's nice in the foyer.
More so than here? What?
Well, because here we have live-in homes. Alone.
Right.
Everybody lives their whole life in a dira in Israel.
Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh.
So you have much more exposure to these things.
Yeah, more usage. Right. I mean, also a lot of contractors will suggest that you put your washer dryer on a lower floor, you know, and logically most of the laundry is generated on an upper floor where you have your bedrooms and then you get into laundry chute, schlepping it down, schlepping it up.
And then you have the blown water line, you know, which no matter what you do, you can't beat
right,
that.
Right. Yeah, but you know, looking at a person who owns his own home, there are people that will choose nonetheless to build it and position it as best as they can and will put it on a second floor. And right, and...
What's that?
A drain on the floor there so that it doesn't have to... Right?
Yeah, that
right.
Helps. Yeah.
Keep it tiled with a drain. Okay, but Al Kopanim, we see over here in the Hilchos Shechinim that, you know, there could be a difference between Taner and other things. Meaning, the halacha that we're seeing by Taner is that even after you've done this, there's still a risk. And that risk is something that you're going to be held responsible for, and you can't say, I did everything I can, and therefore I'm an Inus. The fact that we have halachas that you have to be marchik doesn't say that if you're marchik, there's no more risk, and it's perfectly okay for you to do this, and we encourage it. You know, we're not going to discourage it because people need to cook in their homes. I'm saying so it's allowed, but it's not, the svara isn't that once you've done this, you've mitigated all concerns, and you're an absolute Inus. So the Mechaber is telling us that you would still be chayiv. Okay, let's continue through Beis and Gimel and Dalet, and then we'll come back. Misha Haisalei Chanus Tachas Oitzer Chaveira. If someone has a store underneath his friend's storage house, Layasa Bo Leinachtim Veleitzava Velerefes Boker Veleyachne Shamas Pasta. If a person has, I mean, a Chanus really means that, you know, he has retail space, right? So now what's he doing with that? So on the second floor has an Oitzer. What does an Oitzer mean? A storage house where he stores, for example, tefuah, or he stores other items that are sensitive that require the right conditions and heat and odor and other things can damage it. So now underneath that oitzer, you cannot make a nachtaim, a bakery, a place, a tzava is a tannery, or a refes bakar, where you're going to store your animals, But you also can't put tefuah over there that's partially, you know, ripened or ready, whatever we call it. That's a problem as well. With each of these things are either meisef hevel, or they create smells. So the tefuah, I believe the way it works is that it's almost like a fermenting process. As it ripens, it gives off certain gases or whatever it is that I don't think the issue is smell. I think the issue is heat. And nachtaim, as much as we love, you know, the whiff of a bakery, but if somebody's selling paper goods, you know, who said everybody that buys his paper goods wants it to smell like a bakery? You know, so it's sensitive, and therefore the person underneath can't do that. So the Mechaber focuses on the heat, that the similarly other things with heat would also be prohibited, because that heat will go up and will cause damage to the fruits that are upstairs in the Eitzer. Who adin shlo yiftach alayin mi baya sheyesh b'dvarim elu l'cheder sheyesh loy tachas ha'Eitzer. And this is interesting how, to the extent that it can travel, you'll be restricted from enabling such odors or heat to travel from your place of origin into your friend's Eitzer. So if you have a house neighboring the chanus, meaning you live next door to your chanus, so to speak, your house is here, your chanus is right next to it, and then above your chanus is an Eitzer. So if you have a window going from your bayis to your chanus, it can cause the same problem. So if you have a baking operation in your house, and then you open the window into the chanus, that can then go travel up and damage the Eitzer, that's also restricted. L'fikach amhaya Eitzer yayin, the Eretz Yisrael. However, if let's say the Eitzer on top would have been an Eitzer yayin, a storage house, a warehouse of wine, Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, shena chay mafsidai, which I guess that was just the fact that in Eretz Yisrael it wasn't overly hot like places like Iraq, for example, or Baghdad, wherever else they were coming from. Eretz Yisrael is not as hot, and the chayim wouldn't be mafsidit. Then you can work and operate in your chanus and make whatever malachas eish you want, because it wouldn't end up damaging the eitzer. But the refes bakar, the odor restriction of storing your horses there or your cows, that would be a problem, because that smell would still damage the wine. The Ramah adds in, it's not only heat and smell, it's also koil, large sounds, v'nidnud, and vibrations. If let's say you're in your chanus downstairs, you're operating a mill, or you're grinding wheat, and that causes vibrations. Those vibrations could do damage to what you have stored on top, or large noises from the bottom can go up and cause damage. So, in either which way, if your function is going to damage your neighbor's oitzer, that's something that we prohibit you from doing.
Does the Gemara say anywhere that kol anidnud is kasha liayin?
I don't know.
Where's he getting it from?
I don't know what the makar of the Ramah is. I can't claim to recall all the Gemaras now.
Fermentation process, and if you're vibrating it,
are you going to impede it? Huh?
Yeah. I don't know how much of these are from specific cases of Gemara, or the drift of the Gemara, where we're asering, you know, things that are going. If someone, see, what's interesting is here, who owns it? Right. This halacha, I believe, applies whether you're both tenants or you both own. Right, it's the same thing. I mean, he has a right to have an eitzer there. You have a right to have a chanos downstairs, so to speak. But if you impede on his operation, his functionality, that's a problem. And vice versa as well. If he's going to do something that's going to stare you downstairs, what else would be a problem? But what happens if I'm the landlord? And I have this chanus area downstairs, and I rent this out for an eitzer upstairs. I mean, shouldn't we say sava v'kibul or something like that? Right. So that's the point, that this, the default position is that these things share each other. So now if you're both coming in equally, so there's going to be restrictions. But if I make the conditions of this lease that you're welcome to use this on top as an eitzer, but you should know that downstairs I currently have a refes bakar, and I may change it one day to, you know, start smell the odors of tanning or the heat of you know, of baking or smell or whatever else. So then it's too bad. So that's the mechaber fears is from huchzuka hachanus betchila lerefes elenachdim kiyotzibay. If let's say the downstairs already has a chazaka for that, it's been established and that's what it's used for, either as a refes bakar or a bakery kiyotzibay. V'achgach roitze or ratza bal haaliyah lasas aliyasa eitzer, and then afterwards the bal haaliyah wants to go on top and make his aliyah into an eitzer. he's not allowed to stop him. So, this is also using examples where it's the Bailam. I'm saying, but the same thing would apply, that if one use preceded the other, and then the other one wants to change what he's doing and say, oh, now you're being mazik me, it sounds like any yochalim chis b'yada, you can't stop him, which essentially means that by making a bakery downstairs, you're restricting the use of what can be done upstairs. Right, and then the person comes upstairs and wants to make an Isa Peris or an Isa Fatua, he's not going to be able to. That's not a problem. We're okay with the fact that it's limiting and restricting the usage of upstairs. Now, if you're just a tenant, it sounds like you're being mazik, perhaps your landlord. But the chanos downstairs, they're both tenants, and the tenant downstairs was there first and got used to making a chanos, and now the landlord wants to rent out the upstairs, and a perspective, you know, tenant for upstairs says, I want to make an Eitzer out of it. So could you tell the guy downstairs to please stop baking bread? So the answer is going to be that Mr. Tenant downstairs doesn't have to stop. Now, is that self-inflicted from the Baladira's part, that he let him do that in the first place? I don't know. I don't know if this chazaka that we're saying, Huchzaka, once you started doing it, you can't stop him. Would there be distinctions there when you're dealing with landlords versus tenants? You know, and what level of sub of a kibble do we apply? I'm not certain.
I might at some point open, you know, use this for storage, so I don't want you to open up downstairs.
Oh, even to stop him in advance.
Yeah.
The other way around. Right.
The option.
Right. So he's not being mazik him. Right. Let's say he wants to start and doesn't stare you today, but you want to protect yourself for the future. Okay, I mean, I guess that would be, I mean, even by Bar and Elon, you probably have that question in the Gemara, right? You know, is there a restriction that, you know, one shochin could stop another from doing something that could potentially cause him damage in the future? Okay, let's go weiter. Maybe that's what Sif Gimel's about. Gila bala liya daitai, shechofetz lasis ba'itzer. This is actually where he started getting ready. If the bala liya was megaladas, that he wants and intends to make the top into an Eitzer. Kigoin, Shekibid v'ribitz aliyasai. He kimid means he cleaned out, and ribitz is a form of sweeping. He started prepping his attic. Oisha yirba b'chalaynes, or he actually did some modifications and cut out some additional ear holes. What's that?
Ventilation.
Right. He started in enhancing the ventilation and adding more windows. Kederuk sha'isim la'itza, like is typically done for an Eitzer. So he's in the, I guess, call it the construction phase of a stage of getting his upstairs ready for an Eitzer. And then the downstairs individual went quickly and started a baking operation. Before the individual on top was able to start, before he actually brought in his Paris for storage. Or even more so, he started actually storing things there, but I guess not sensitive pears yet, perhaps. He started bringing in sesames or pomegranates or dates and other similar items, which I'm assuming are not the milas, that they're not sensitive. Yeah, things that won't be affected by the temperature as much or by the smell. The kadam zeva asar ataner, and then the individual on bottom went and beat him to it, so to speak, and made a tanner underneath, kaidim sha'atzer chitim, before the individual on top was able to bring in and start storing chitim. Okay, so two cases. One case is the person on top was megala das, that he intends to start bringing in things for storage. He didn't yet bring anything in. The second case is that he started bringing in things for storage, but not yet sensitive things. So, and then the individual downstairs put in his tanner at that point. Oy sha'asa bala chanos mechila al gaba lahavdil bein chanos bein oitzer. What does that mean? The bala chanos made a mechila. Right. Mechila is usually a word that we use for gutters, no? Something that. Maybe, yeah. Something that mitigates the damage from downstairs to upstairs and makes it that it won't travel up as much or will get diverted or whatever, however it would work. Even so, the Bala Oitzer could be Ma'akiv, and he could stop the Nachtim from coming in. Meaning the fact that the Nachtam did something to mitigate doesn't give him a right to open a bakery downstairs if it's going to, if, I don't know, even if it's going to shter, but the concern of it shtering. And the first two cases are where the Balo Eitzah was Megala Daita, that this is what he plans on doing and using it for Neitzah Chitim, but he didn't start yet. So he has a right to be Ma'akev the Balo Nachtam underneath. Bim Avar Va'asa, Eina Yochol Yisirei. However, if he was Avar Va'asa, Eina Yochol Yisirei. If the Nachtam was Avar Va'asa, right? He went and he made his bakery downstairs, and Lemaisa he beat him to it, and the Eitzah didn't start upstairs yet. Any Yochel Asir is not allowed to make him go out. So the although we can hear Svaris the other way around, but it seems that this was a Shaila in the Gemara that was Nibayi Delay Ifshita. And therefore we're saying that once he's there, any Yochel Asir, it's like a Meitzah Mechavel of Araya kind of thing. I'm saying the fact that it's a Suffolk, we you can stop him from coming, but if he started before you, you can't throw him out. So it's an interesting middle of the road. Now I don't know if this will give us an answer for what you asked, Beryl, where you didn't yet do anything. You know, can you stop him based on a future? It could be not, but we do see. Like right, it would sound like not.
This is only where he built it first with a mechila. In other words, he had this.
Well, the mechila, even if the mechila mitigates. Well, what we're saying is that the Bala Eitzer plans on making an Eitzer, he has a right to stop the Bala Nachter. Now, even if the Bala Nachtam does something to mitigate and that it shouldn't do damage, he could still stop him. But he could only stop him before. He could only stop the Bala Nachtam before the Bala Nachtam actually moved in. Once the Bala Nachtam moved in, if he beat him to it, and the Bala Nachtam
is it after before the Bala Nachtam moved in, or once the guy's operating upstairs? It doesn't sound like he's operating yet, right? He only has intention to operate, right?
Yeah, but Vim Avad Va'asa means that the downstairs
guy then made it to it first. Anyway.
Right.
And he beat the top guy to it.
Correct. So then the guy on top cannot throw him out because the Bala Nachtam was there first. Now, even though they had a conversation a month before and he told him, don't do it, he didn't listen.
So that sounds like they're only with a mechila in between, though. That Avar Va'asa with a mechila, it sounds like. Because without a mechila, you're not allowed to.
Who's not allowed to?
The guy below. He would.
Why? Because there wasn't the Knights upstairs yet.
Meaning, but you have to have something to protect between or not?
I don't think so.
What your use is upstairs.
Well, let's understand something else. It seems like this mechila doesn't really negate the concern completely. Right? It may minimize it, and the Bala Nachtam may say, listen, I added this in, you know, I added a second layer of sheetrock to minimize the noise, or whatever else it would be, but there's still sound that comes through. There's still hezek that comes through it. So we still would allow the Bala Eitzer to stop him if the Bala Eitzer would have been there first. But the fact that the Bala Eitzer wasn't there first, we had this middle-of-the-road allowance that he could push him off and say, don't start, I'm starting. But ultimately, if the Bala Nachtam settled in and didn't heed that warning, we're not allowed to throw him out. I think simply because he was there first. Meaning it's an in-between level where we know the Eitzer is coming, but it's not here yet, so therefore you're allowed to warn the Bala Nachtam not to come. But ultimately, if a Nachtam comes before an Eitzer, you can't throw out a Nachtam. I think regardless, even if you didn't have the Mechila, is the way I understand it. The Mechila just makes it that on the Chiddush that you could stop him even though he made a Mechila. Mm-hmm. But once he's there first, first is first. So, you know, it's unusual to have such a level in halacha that you're allowed to discourage him from coming. You have a right to prevent him, but if you didn't succeed in preventing him, then too bad. So it leaves a little bit of a makom for kol da'olam gavra. I'm saying, like, if the bottom guy is not going to listen, then he's going to get away with it.
You got to file with court right away. As soon as it happens, you have to have a call. Get
Bezdin involved.
Yeah.
Okay, Siv Dalet. Hayumeimei ha'elyon yordim ala tachtim mazikin oisei. If the washing machine is dripping from upstairs to downstairs, the waters are dripping from the elyon to the tachtin. And what did they use water for? I mean, they didn't have running pipes, obviously. But a lot of times it can mean mei geshamim. Or it could mean whatever other mate tashmishin is using. Right. On a second floor, could be they did. No, on the first floor, it was all earth. But that we know in Eretz Yisrael, sponge water is not considered hezek on a sidewalk, right? Just throw it down the chute, right? You ever see those pipes pouring out? It's fascinating.
Yeah, it doesn't go on the sidewalk, does it?
Sure, it does.
Where people walk?
Sure. You can get hit on your head. Yeah. No, you have a throughout measure.
Yeah, it's good. It makes you grow.
It is. Yeah. People cleaning their porches and just comes right down, as if. If the meme olyon are coming down on the tachten and doing hezek, if there is no mazeva over there, be'inyin, shekeshe shoifich meimav, miyad yordim latachten, there's no plaster over there that would prevent this liquid from coming down. This sounds like it was a very porous floor. I mean, like, you know, I guess they were rafters, but they weren't sealed. And to the extent that if you're washing your negavas, I guess they prepared water, you know, or they washed the tilus yadayim, and would, if it would go on the floor, it would go right through. Miyad yardim latachtum mazik anoyse. Right away, it would go down to the bottom and be mazakim. Chayiv lasalik hazeka. You can't keep doing that. You gotta remove your hezek and stop it. V'myesh mazeva shamayim nivloyim bo. But if you have plaster, where typically the water doesn't go through, and it gets absorbed by the plaster, v'enim yardim miyad, and it doesn't come down right away, elo la'achar mikan, only after some time, meaning that it I guess saturates and then comes through, which is probably the way our sheetrock would work today, if you have an issue. La'achar mikan yordim u'mazikim, ein echayev l'salik. L'salik hazekai. We don't have anything on the next page.
No mold problem.
So if it would go into the mazeva and not come down right away, that's not a problem. So basically, this din of the Mechaber is saying that when you have, I mean, okay, water is different than heat and smell and fire. Fire, if it catches fire, it all burns up, right? Smell and what do you call it? Smell and heat are things that will penetrate and do, so to speak, I don't know if it's an intangible, but you know, it's not as much of a real time damage that you can measure in the same fashion. Here we're saying it's very measurable. If the water comes through, it's a problem. If it doesn't come through, it's not a problem. So if you're doing something with water on top that is coming through, do we say it's a problem no matter how it came through? Or it's only a problem if it was direct? And I mean, the miyad seems like it's almost like you know, a giri delay, so to speak, where it's a direct hezek as opposed to an indirect, you know, via a step removed that we can call perhaps a grumma. So if the water from the top is coming down, if there's no mazeva b'inyan sheshefech meim of miyad yardim latachtum mazikim b'yisrei, chayv l'salak hazekai. If it's going to be direct hezek, you have to stop doing it. You can't wash negavasa on his head. It's just not okay. But if it doesn't go directly on his head, v'myesh mazeva, shemayim nevloim bo, v'inim yardim miyad, alachim ikan, alachim ikan doesn't mean lachar zman. I don't know what that shear is, but it sounds like it could be, you know, a few minutes later. Meaning, it's not a, I don't know, not, it doesn't mean a week. No, they didn't have, I don't think they had the capacity of storing water in their ceilings the way we do. You know, I recently found out the hard way that there was water being stored in my ceiling for years. Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. Like, my wife always told me it smells like mold. And then one day in the guest room, boom, you know. I'm like, uh-oh. There was a shower that was never installed properly. So it was years in the making, and the rafters were moldy. That's how bad it was. And everything had to be cut out and rebuilt, obviously. But there is the capacity, whether it's it's our sheetrock, it's our wood, it's our insulation. I mean, we use porous materials that are in between floors. We don't anticipate the water going through and sitting there, but if it does, it really sits. I'm not certain that their mazeva allowed for that. The Lashon HaMechaber is that Einam yardim yad, elo la'achem ikan yardim. It's not right away, it's not direct. Rather, it's la'achem ikan yardim azikim, ein chayiv l'salak hazeka. Then you don't have to stop doing it. You're allowed to wash nevavasa. I don't know what that shear is. But and what is this comparable to? I mean, why is water so different than other things? Right, we're saying that water, if it's not a direct hezek, it's okay to do it. If it's direct, it's not okay. I mean, I would like to think that nachtem is not a direct hezek, right? And the smell of refes bakar is not a direct hezek. You're bringing in smelly things, and that smell travels, and it travels gradually. I mean, it's not instant. It's not traveling at the speed of light. I mean, you know, what is that?
It permeates, and it's always there.
It permeates, right.
Everything.
So that may be the difference, because it's always present. You know, there's no such thing as a stable not smelling. So once you're in there, or probably even before you move in, once you start getting ready to move in, it probably starts smelling already. You know, the second you bring in your first animal, so then the smell is constantly there. But is that a direct hit? You know, nachtime, is it, fire is a direct hit, I understand. You know, if it catches fire.
If somebody brings a dog into your house, you don't want a dog in the house because the dog smells the place up. Even after one visit,
right.
You're going to smell the dog for a while.
Right, right.
The dog leaves, so the smell will get away from mitigating. It'll
okay.
Eventually leave you.
But
you have it all the time. You could smell a dog, like a car that had a dog in it all the time, or a house. You could smell it.
Okay. Okay, so, does that make it direct, or it changes it for some reason because it's ever-present? I mean, fire, we understand, as direct damage. If it catches fire, it burns. By Maisif Hevel, even, I don't know if that's so immediate and direct. I mean, you have fermenting, things that are fermenting, that give off gases, that are Maisif Hevel, that could travel and go damage the wine upstairs. Is that direct? I mean, it's gradual. So why is water more lenient? That if it's not a direct hit, we allow you to do that. Now, it could be I'm taking this to too much of an extreme in what the definition of direct and indirect by Maya means, but it seems to me that we're looking at a grumma versus a giri delay. So if it's not a direct damage, we're able to view it as a grumma, which is okay. Now, is the guy downstairs ever going to get wet? It sounds like he will.
Sounds like if it's ever dripping, it's not okay. And if it's all absorbed in the plaster or the sheetrock, and it never makes it down, since Eretz Yisrael is a hot area, and mold needs cool to grow, right? Doesn't mold need a cooler temperature for mold to grow? Not so hot. Hot will...
He dries it up, maybe. Okay.
I thought so. You don't get mold so much in the hot area as much as you do in the cool area. So maybe they weren't subject to the mold.
The question is how much it's coming down. Okay, listen, it's a distinction here that we see. Just wanted to highlight... I mean, the if you look at the sma for a moment on the bottom right here,
miyad
yardim l'tachtein, the oz have a giri delay.
It's like an error.
Then it's direct. Yeah, loshna ramam davalei ka'imid b'shaloi v'yoru b'giri delay v'chaveru imid b'shosachar. It's arach l'salik. You have to stop doing that. You can't drop things on his head. But it sounds like if it's not direct by mayim, we'll matter it. The question is, why is that so different? You know, or let's say it the other way. Why by Hevel and by Chaim and by Reach do we look at it as more direct? Because those were clearly Asering, that if there's an Eitzer on top, you're not allowed to do something on bottom that is going to damage him with Kohl or Nidnud.
No, because Nidnud those are going to happen. As if you have a Rechus, you're going to have a smell. But if you upstairs, it may or may not leak. Doesn't have to have
okay, leave. But again, is it that it may or may not happen, or when it happens, how direct is it? Seems like by the water, we're saying that if it's going to go through the ceiling, even if it's a vadai, but if it's not direct, then it's gradual, or it takes time, or it's minimal. I don't know what the differences are, but it doesn't seem to be that the issue is vadai versus suffix. It seems the issue is direct versus indirect. So essentially, something that's indirect we're is okay. You're not mechuyev to be marchik from that. So is Hevel more direct? Perhaps yes. I mean, maybe that constant, you know, translates into direct. The fact that it's a nachtem is constantly passing up odor, you know, that's considered more of a giri delay.
I can understand that you're to do something to fix.
To be marfid, right? You don't have to stop. Oh, listen, every morning you wash Nagavasan, and an hour later it drips on his head. It's okay. That's what it seems like.
It seems like the drip, if it's dripping.
Not pouring.
Didn't we see before that if it's all absorbed in the plaster,
yeah.
That was good. But if it doesn't, if it's not all absorbed inside the plaster, it's dripping, that's not okay.
Well, I think we only saw that distinction on plaster if it would minimize the damage of what goes through if you, you know, play with the roof, make a stronger roof, whatever, the stronger ceiling. I'm not certain. Okay, let's go back to Ice Aleph here. And see the Meisei Kalim. Lo Yase Tana, going back to the beginning of the Sif, the Sim and Sif Aleph. Lo Yase Tana, Ad Goyved Al Ramas Mashba, the Bestam Tana, Ayri, the Pislim and Atzad. Even a Tana whose opening is on the side, Bafilu Hochi, Hitzvich Dal Ramas, Begoyva, Ayn Kadasa Rosh, Veri, Veri Bar Tzeleni, Evia, Tor Ayn Jom. Machlaik is whether a Tana that opens on the side would have the same restriction of Dal Ramas on top, and Akapanim we say yes. So, Bekir Tefach. Really, in the Torah is a machlekes, but the Mechaber says a kira on top requires the same dalet amis, I believe. The mechaber sasim v'nir the svila mechaber the begoyva kol hani the choshev shavim heim barachokas dalaramis. They're all the same in height. The mishum shal heves ha'ilu l'mayla asar harchoka tuva. Because of a flame shooting up, we made the same harchoka. Ubitfei midalaramis lekalamechesh b'shum tzad. There's no concern more than dalaramis. V'ainu time the sasim atur v'mechaber v'gam begemara b'shir goyva the tana v'kirayim shenach toimin mishum the svila the kulum shavim heim b'zeh. The ayin prisha perhaps they're all the same, that they have the same dalaramis. The sham kasafti, continuing in the sma on the right side there, shekain das harosh v'ribar tzulani mishalim masha ezika. So you have to pay even if you're marchik u'mikol malkaim sarach laharchik lechatchila shiranal. Now you can't say to yourself, okay, I'll do the damage and then I'll pay. You obviously you have to be marchik. And even once you marchik, you still mechayiv to pay. Shula yadlik batei ashchenim or yaliyah, because maybe it will cause a fire to the house of the shchenim or the aliyah shedorbei. Well, yiloi mimala shalim. What's the reason that it's usher? It almost sounds like the guy
insurance.
Calculates.
You don't have insurance.
You don't have insurance. Right? You may not have the money to pay for it. So therefore, you're not allowed to do it. V'gam v'pnei shula yirtza leirid imay bedina v'dayin. A person doesn't want to get into the dispute. V'gam atroyach lachzu v'limnais. There's also the reconstruction course. And furthermore, liyizman b'loy dira. There's the downtime of being out and having to be in temporary quarters. So there's various concerns and issues that we have if you're going to burn it down.